White One Radio, good afternoon. Chris Marson keeping you company along with John McClure from Reverend and the Makers. First off, John, one question. Where the heck did the camel come from in Sheffield?
Well, that is a bit of a story in itself, Chris. So the album was called Heatwave in the Cold North, obviously. Lovely people at the label, Roma and Ian, were like, well, you and the factory are the Cold North. What can denote the heatwave? And they were like, you know what you need, mate? You need a camel.
As you do.
So they got me a ethically sourced camel from the oldest circus company in the world. And they brought him to our practice room, which is in Sheffield, in the deepest centre of Sheffield. He was lovely. He's called Coco. We had a lovely day together. Camels are notoriously like bad-tempered, right? So
yeah,
he was a lovely creature. And it was actually on the day that the Queen died, which I think is a very... what she would have wanted, surely, you know?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, to be honest.
There you go.
So, I mean, the whole album, what album's this now? God, it's knocking on, isn't it?
Number seven, yeah.
Seven.
Although, yeah, I mean, the reaction to this is unlike anything ever, really. Maybe even the debut album, you know, it's just sort of erupted.
Why is that, then? Why do you reckon?
I think maybe I wasn't trying to be... Obviously, I've made social commentary albums, I've made political albums, I've made psychedelic, hedonistic albums, but something about this one just seems to have connected with people. I mean, there's a little bit of a sort of soulful thing. I guess the lyrics are quite, apart from the title track, which is sort of a bit of fun, A lot of the lyrics are quite introspective. I mean, particularly this one that's just gone on all the radio stations now, this letter to my 21-year-old self, it seems to have provoked like a really emotive response from people.
It struck chords, hasn't it? It really, especially with us here, it is very nice. It's a beautiful song, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, thanks, man. Really appreciate that, mate.
The whole album, the recent one, is so diverse. Every single track you've got is one diversion to another one. Don't get me wrong, you know, they are fantastic. So where has it all come from?
The story of it really is that during lockdown, I was obviously worried about my income because a lot of my music is income is derived from live music. And it, weirdly, conversely, I know it was terrible for lots of people, but I ended up doing loads of work for other bands, producing and writing, did some stuff for an advert. And in the process of this, met this guy called Danny LaFrombie, who is a Sheffield Wednesday fan like me. And he came to live in my shed at the bottom of the garden. And me and him just struck up this amazing songwriting partnership. And I don't know what it is about the two of us. We seem to give each other something that the other lacks. And we just, we struggle to do it without the other one. We just I've got this connection. I think a lot of northern male indie singers tend to do the same melodies all the time. They'll do like, it's like, oh, I've heard you do that melody on every album you've ever done. So we get the music up together. He tends to handle the melodies and I do the words. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's like an Elton John, Bernie Taupin thing, you know, it just, sometimes it's just, you know, even in personal relationships, you know, you meet the love of your life or best friends. And it's just a chemistry thing. There's something about the two of you together just seems to work. And me and Dan just seems to be like a little hit factory. And even after the album was written, we've got a bunch more songs that are arguably even better, you know, and the results speak for themselves. We're all over the radio and a telly at the minute and stuff, and just I feel busier than ever. So grateful to him for what he's done for me, and I feel very lucky because obviously I've been doing this 20 years now, and we've had some ups and downs with band, and we're just in this great moment.
Does it help being a Wednesday fan as well? Sorry.
No, it doesn't, because you are essentially consigning yourself to a lifetime of misery. But we certainly, and Dan certainly, you know, he's from the valleys, and we've got that kind of industrial coal mining link anyway from the 80s with our families.
Yeah.
His dad's from near here, so there's that as well. But we're working class boys, and I think we have the same sense of humour and a shared outlook on life and stuff, and he seems to love working with me. We have a great time. He comes and my kids love him, and I really like his partner, so he's become a real kind of mate, you know, and it's just wonderful. And the 21-year-old self, actually, because I'm a lyricist, obviously I do all the words. And he's like, why don't you write a letter to yourself when you're 21? And I went so in depth on that song, and it's the first time I've ever written a song where I've felt emotional doing it. I cried, actually. And from that, then it became this sort of social art experiment where we invited celebrities, MPs, sports stars to write letters to their 21-year-old selves. which is now going to become a big podcast and stuff. But we displayed the letters in the back of a pub. We had letters from like Sporty Spice, Brian Eno, Jeremy Corbyn, all these mad people. So it's been a, it just goes from to the next, really, on and on. It's just a kind of rolling success. It's awesome.
Johnny, are you still a Sheffield man? Are you still living there?
I'm still here now, yeah. Although I do live in a sort of slightly more middle class. A lot of music from Sheffield, myself, Arctic Monkeys and Richard Hawley and them kind of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But from the working class, from the north of the city, the ones of us who stay here, we all live in the south of the city and want to be within, like, you know, 100 yards of some hummus or something. You know, it's all a little bit like, a little bit middle class these days, but I'm not at all class traitor.
Well, I was born in Nether Edge, you see, and so...
Oh, well I'm not, I don't want to give away my specific location.
No.
If I ran out of my house right now, I could be in Nether Edge in maybe 30 seconds, less than that.
Fair enough. Yeah, because I was born in Sheffield. I mean, all my family's from there. And,
brilliant.
All of a sudden, I've got this affiliation.
Well, it's funny because where we are, we're not far from Salter Lane, and obviously there's a lot of musicians in our area. And we jokingly call it Beverly Hills because you've got members of Arctic Monkeys and Pulp, and obviously myself and a few others.
Yeah, yeah.
So we jokingly call it Beverly Hills. All the musicians seem to gravitate, Stella Street, you know, it's where seem to gravitate towards.
You see, my nan used to live around the corner from Jarvis Cocker's nan.
Oh, there's your claim to fame. We had a similar thing that my auntie once bought a pram off Martin Ware from Evan 17.
Well, right, I'll trump yours then, because Joe Cocker used to practice in my great granddad's shed.
Love it. Love it.
Beat
that. Sheffield is like that. I mean, the saying is obviously the summit in Watter. But it really is a sort of musical city. And I mean, even like the wider county of Yorkshire, generally, obviously Leeds has got a bunch of great bands. We've got Self Esteem 9 Sheffield. The Ratings have had a number one. Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh, good on Ratings, absolutely.
Amazing. Obviously, you go further north, there's Shed 7 up in York. So it's a real, like, fertile county, I think, for music. You know, it's a great thing.
It is. Well, you know, let's not dwell on the past. Well, obviously, we can touch on it, you know, that you've done some great things. You've been supporting Oasis. So, you know, actually, on that subject, just to go left field slightly for a moment, what do you reckon to the brand new Oasis album that was...
I sent it Noel last week. I said, have you heard this? And it's all right, actually, when it might sound like Liam, it doesn't sound like me. I think it's interesting. I've actually done a bunch of work with Dean from the All-C&I and the University of Sheffield and Brian.
Wow.
We did a bit of AI. I think it's a misappropriation of the technology to try to recreate other things. I think what you're hoping for is a great leap forward, a future shock, you know, like some sort of happy accident that's going to generate a new sound, you know. And I think if we can get to that stage, I think AI will be really good. And obviously it makes a lot of musicians feel very uncomfortable, which I love. It's like the drum machine. You know, in the 80s when drum machines come out, all the drummers were like, well, what do I do?
Wait. Who's going to carry speakers?
Yeah, retire. So I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it's a very interesting development in music. Just yesterday, we used some technology and we had Michael Jackson, which I know he's sort of cancelled, rightfully so these days, but we had Michael Jackson singing one of my songs off the album, which was very weird because obviously it's not, the neural networks are trained on my voice as well as this. So it's like Jacko if you were from Yorkshire. Which is not it's not as far-fetched as it sounds, actually, because Rod Temperton obviously is from Immingham, who wrote a lot of the big Michael Jackson hits. So maybe it's a sort of return to the real, what it actually was, you know. Maybe there's a bit of that in there.
You know, there's one thing that I love about all of your albums, all of your songs, it's the fact that you just keep the accent in there. And that's something special, isn't it?
Well, I think there's a credibility gap otherwise. I think the moment you start sort of affecting this strange voice, I think, like you were talking about that 21-year-old self track, I think the reason people find it emotive is because it's obviously coming from a real place, you know. And I think when you're singing in the accent in which you talk, I'm a big Bob Marley fan. He'll do like a lyric in like standardized English, and then later on in the song, he'll do it in the patois. So there's a lyric and he says, every day the bucket goes to the well, one day the bottom I got drop out. But he says it later on in the song, he says it in like a really heavy patois kind of way. And it's like that sort of two ways of communicating kind of thing. Like one for just, if you know, you know. But the problem with that is people scribe out your lyrics and put them on the internet, and there's loads of lyrics online that are supposedly mine, and I'm like, whoa, I'm a much better lyricist than this. Like, people like sort of mishearing lyrics. I mean, my wife famously thinks that Jules Rimet Still Gleaming from Three Lions,
yeah,
is Jules Remain Still Gleaming, which is obviously nonsense. My dad thought the girl with kaleidoscope eyes from the Beatles, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, my dad in the 60s thought it was the girl with colitis goes by. So I do like a sort of misheard lyric. I think it's great.
They are good. And Art Griffo on Y1 Radio, he does misheard lyrics every single morning, and it's just absolute class. I mean, I do have love some that. Absolute corkers, but not for radio, unfortunately. So we've got Heatwave of the Cold North. It was 28th of April, isn't it, that you're releasing this one?
It is, yeah. Friday, 28th of April this week. And obviously, there's a sort of misapprehension amongst the fans that they think if they stream the album, they're helping us in some way now. You could stream my album every day for 3 years and I still wouldn't get the same money as if you bought the thing, right? So
yeah.
We're in a bit of a chart battle. We're doing really well in the charts. We really would urge people to go out there, support the band, buy the record. I'm doing a bunch of acoustic gigs around the place soon. So there are a bunch of acoustic dates. You can buy the album and a ticket for £15, which is incredibly reasonable. And I'll be
very reasonable.
Yeah, and it's also, there's this kind of idea that I can talk a little bit more than when I do the big shows with a band. I have to sort of, it's a bit of a different art. Whereas when it's just me and the guitar,
yeah,
I can have a natter and have a laugh and a bit of fun and talk.
Tell you
about
what, then. All right, let's strike a Sheffield man deal. Right,
go on then.
Would you, for a couple of quid?
Yeah.
Come up and do a Q&A and a kind of like fiddle on your guitar with
it. I'd be absolutely honoured. If you can encourage lots of people to buy my album, I'll certainly look
at it. We can do that on the night. Way.
No worries. All right.
Yeah.
You'll let me know, mate.
Deal.
In contact. All right. Sorry. You're on.
Lovely. Listen, it's been fantastic to speak to you. What is next, by the way, after this album? You're touring again? Are you getting yourself on the road?
The acoustic git tour is first, and then last year I went from Sheffield to our twin city in Zambia, Kitwe, overland.
What?
Looking at music. Yeah, I filmed it all, and I shall be beginning to share the footage from my journey, of which I don't want to give the game away, but went to some crazy places, went to a music festival in Uganda where there were crocodiles walking into the festival site. So it's I've got a lot of things I want to share with people.
Wow, that's gonna be special. You want to sell that to Geography Channel, man?
There we go. Yeah,
got a couple of quid.
Cheers
out
for
that
your
one.
Time, Chris.
Cheers,
mate.
Thank
to
you
pop.
So much indeed.
Top
God bless
man.
You. Da-da.
Take care, dude. Bye bye.